Good morning. Let us pray. May our hearts be turned to you, O Lord, as we hear from your word together. Amen. Today we heard readings from Ephesians 2 and Matthew 7, and also heard part of the Ephesians 2 reading sung to us by the children. Both of these passages start with a dark picture of our human condition. Ephesians speaks of the ruler of the kingdom of the air at work in those who are disobedient and is referring to us all. Matthew speaks of Jesus saying, "I never knew you," to people who thought they were doing mighty works in his name. If today's sermon were only about these opening sections, it would be a journey into how sin, the brokenness in our world and in us, traps us, blinds us, deceives us. It is sobering. And if we were to really grapple with this, it is almost too much. That some of the causes we believe in, the things we are most fervent about or invest our time in, might reflect our own self-deceit instead of pointing to God. Built on sand instead of bedrock. What is our hope in the midst of that? Well, I direct the children's ministry here at Little T, along with Natalie Lundy, the assistant director. And while this might seem like a dark place to start a sermon from a children's ministry perspective, Ephesians speaks deeply to how our life together is fundamental to the children and youth in our midst, discovering, as Ephesians says, the good works which God has prepared for them as a way of life. So while we need to pay attention to the sobering openings to the passages, they are a backdrop to the incredible hope spoken of in the rest of the Ephesians reading from today. Our children sang that hope to us just a few minutes ago. They sang in a rephrasing of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." I want to focus on those words today, but in order to do so, we need to see the wider context in which those words are placed. The beginning of today's passage says that we're over here, caught in a life determined by the powers of this world and the cravings of our own natures. But throughout the whole of Ephesians, the author, in different ways, urges us and indeed asks God to help us comprehend, to see, to understand that in Jesus Christ we are lifted up out of the life trapped by sin and self-direction and self-justification and lifted into a whole new landscape. And so earlier in chapter 1 of Ephesians, a picture is painted of this landscape, of a glorious cosmically scaled change that has happened at the very root of our existence, because of the risen Jesus Christ. This change is echoed in the words from today's reading, where we heard that God has made us anew in Christ. Everything about the way the world is has fundamentally changed, on par with the original creation that we learn of in Genesis. And the possibility has been opened up for the whole world to find its health, its truth, and its deepest life through Jesus Christ. Throughout Ephesians, we hear that the current reality of the living Jesus Christ enthroned at the right hand of God defines our existence, the warp and weave of how we walk through a day at a far more fundamental level than what we can see with our eyes or grasp with our minds. An event has occurred in the death of Jesus, his rising from the dead, and his being lifted up into heaven that has a new creative force in the world for all living things. Let me try out an image to unpack this a little bit. If you've ever been whitewater rafting, and I have a few times along rivers in the Rocky Mountains, you will know that in that setting, in the boat, the water is rushing along. Sometimes it might slow down a little bit, but no matter what, there's always this pushing current that you're negotiating, managing, focused on managing in order to run the river. There are forces outside of you pushing you along. Now picture with me the scenery alongside of that river. Vistas, perhaps, of mountain peaks over here. Maybe over here, occasional sandy pullouts along the river. Walls of dark pine forests here. And you might catch glimpses of these things as you rush along, but there is so much that you're missing as well. Beyond those peaks that you catch glimpses of, there are rows and ranges of other mountains, mountain meadows that you can't see. There's a whole wide world outside of, beyond your focus on this rushing river that you're running. This is something like what the author of Ephesians is trying to portray. We are pushed along by the forces of life, by the forces of its sin, and we're at the oar, responding, shaping, crafting, charting a path. And the image of sin here is that we're so caught inside of that that we're not even capable of turning and looking at the larger landscape. And to continue in that image, in the context of Ephesians, that larger landscape is what God is doing around us and has done in his Son. The deeper, bigger, wider landscape of God at work in the world, across generations, and in our lives right now. But what does this have to do with the church? And what does it have to do with our children? Well, the author is writing to the Ephesians, to a church, and to us. And in the middle of our Ephesians reading today, it says, "You, the church, have been raised up with Christ and are seated with him in the heavenly realms." We are being told that somehow the church is not solely determined by that rush of the river, but somehow has been lifted up and placed inside of that larger landscape of God making the world anew in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but that we have work, good work, to do as part of the world being made anew. So we, as harried as we might be by the rush of the river, nonetheless hold a treasure. And that treasure is the gospel truth that God indeed has lifted us up in our troubled boat with his Son and set us in the world he is making anew. It is no surprise that some of the great artwork of the church over the centuries images the church as a boat, as Noah's Ark, in fact, afloat, preserving the world and God's good life in the world for the sake of the whole world. And this applies to our children, too. We carry a deep responsibility to rehearse, to live, to continue to gather to this gospel truth, so that they, too, have a chance of walking into the works that God has prepared for them. Later in the service today, we will have a brief presentation honoring those children and youth who are moving on to a new stage of their life within this community. Why do we mark this? We mark it in part because these children and youth are under our care as a church community. They are growing up as persons and at the same time growing up into Christ in our midst, inside the life of our church community. Going back to the boat imagery, for a small part of their journey, they are in the boat with us. So we are, as we are lifted up into that landscape by our common life with Jesus, these precious children and youth are seeing, hearing, and learning the gospel in our midst. And we've been commissioned as a community to live the kind of life together that exhibits, that reveals, that gives glimpses of the world being made anew, so that they begin to comprehend, to understand who God is and what God is calling them to in the world. We are to live the kind of life together that allows them to taste the promise of what God is doing. And what does that life together look like? Well, the rest of Ephesians has some pretty practical teaching about it. Political, social, economic, familial. But most foundationally, it is the life of gathering to Christ, as Ephesians 3:14 says, of bending the knee together before the Father from whom every family on earth receives its name. I, for one, am deeply grateful that Little T is the kind of community where that happens, where children and youth are right in the middle of our corporate life. This is a place where they're invited into worship, into prayer, into service, into learning. They, so to speak, are walking around in the landscape we spoke of earlier, tasting it, hearing it, seeing it with their whole selves. And this is how they taste Jesus Christ and begin to know him. And this has to happen in order for them to recognize Jesus in the rest of their lives, throughout their lives, as they go out into the world. There's no generational expression of the church that can contain the full measure of the inheritance crafted and given to our children and youth by God in Jesus Christ. They will move out into the world. And our hope and our prayer is that we have traveled this bit of the river together with them in a way that has opened up a space for them to see who God is, to comprehend him, to see what he is doing, and to be met by Jesus. For a decade or two now, one of my favorite parts of the Anglican liturgy has been a closing benediction that we often say together here at church. It is drawn from Ephesians 3:20, and is one of the benedictions that we have taught to the children. And it goes like this. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And this particular benediction is a favorite because every time we say it together, we are acknowledging that it is God's power that lifts this boat caught in sin and places it in a new landscape of what he is doing in the world. And it is God's power that can do more than when we can ask or imagine in the rush of the river and the brokenness of our lives. And it is God's power that holds our children as they grow up in our midst and go out into the world. And it is God's power that sustains the church generation to generation as it gathers to his Son. So, as our children sang to us, God, full of mercy and rich in love, when we were lost, caught in our sin, has indeed given us the gift of salvation, making us anew in this world. And that while we travel this part of the journey with our children and youth, we hold that precious gift for a time, for them, and with them. What a privilege to be given the opportunity to walk the path of salvation with these children. What a calling. And praise be to God that His power at work in us will sustain us and our children, generation to generation, in that calling. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.